times from Dar and Femi and Remy, but it is actually not us just coming together. It's us assembling together to do governmental work for the kingdom. Does that make sense? Okay, so that's the ecclesia. Now, if you just said, well, yeah, I went to church today. That you didn't conduct the business of God. You went to church, and that's all right. Except if you're going to make that type of effort, if you're going to make that type of statement, and you're going to drive 25, 30 miles, some of you, to come to church, then you're wanting the governments of God, and you're wanting to be part of that and make declarations about that government. And today, Mary, my sister-in-law, is going to be sharing. I'd just like to make a statement of the ecclesia. And one area was teacher. And Mary is a tremendous teacher of the Word of God. And of course, you know, it's difficult when you're getting complimented, but it's easier somebody else complimenting you than you doing it yourself. But Mary is a tremendous, and I remember back in the 80s when spirit, soul, and body was just a kind of a, you know, very, very new teaching. And Mary was just insistent on preaching that or teaching that type of message. And she did, and it costed her a little bit. She was, you know, it was this new deal on the block. And since that time, you know, spirit, soul, and body is pretty much stamped approved. But when it wasn't popular, you were teaching it. And because of faith, a faithful word. And so we acknowledge you today as a teacher of the Word of God, and in the courts of heaven, that's how he's seeing you. So would you come and let's give her a hand today. Thank you, Mary. I appreciate your prayers and your preachings. And
yay. I love to get up here and teach. Just want to say that if you missed the last teaching of the supernatural, if you missed it, and you have any type of hunger or desire to move into the things and the destiny and call of God in your life, get those tapes and listen to them. This last schooling was life-changing. And if you have any desire, if you have any hunger to walk out your purpose and destiny in God, you need to get those teachings and just start absorbing them into your life. There's a whole shift that needs to happen in us when it comes to our church mentality. Pastor Drake talked about the ecclesia. We're talking kingdom. So many times we just live in the natural. We just live in the natural. But when we were born again, we were born into the kingdom of God. We were born into a spiritual realm. Yes, I have a natural body, but I'm also spirit. And so today I just want to teach on three dimensions of prayer. And I want you to think about these dimensions in kingdom realms. I want you to think spiritually, because so many times we're just stuck naturally. I believe that each one of these three dimensions opens up a spiritual realm for us and a spiritual realm of breakthrough for us. How many need a breakthrough in your life in some area? I mean, I think we all should be. Yes, I do. You know, we all need breakthrough in dimensions. But if we're stuck in the natural, if I think it was Jack Hines that says, if we're like a chicken saint and we're pecking around on the ground, you know, he always said, we got to fly with the eagles. We got to get up above. We got to see above. We have to get above. And when I'm talking about these dimensions of prayer, I'm talking about getting into a spiritual realm. In Ephesians 2:6, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to just go there. It's a scripture we all know, or should know. I'm going to start. I'm on the wrong one here. It talks about in Ephesians that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. When we were born again, when we became into that spiritual realm, we were seated with Christ in heavenly places. He has raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So when I'm talking about entering into a spirit or a realm of prayer or a dimension in prayer, I'm not talking about praying from earth. I'm talking about we're already seated in heavenly places with Christ. Yes, I am standing here in the natural. I am standing here at Community Church in the natural. But in the spiritual realm, I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. We're talking kingdom. We're talking being in realms of kingdom now. We have to shift our mindset. Yes, we are here in the natural, but we also are in the spiritual realm. We're in the heavenlies, which causes us to be in two dimensions. We're in two dimensions. If we're born again of the Spirit of God, we have Christ living in us, then we are seated with him in heavenly places. I just wanted to start with that as a basis. I want to go. Okay, I just want to say, in prayer, we enter the spiritual dimension and we interact with God. We see things shift into order and we can move into that authority to see things changed in the natural. So when we enter that realm of prayer with God, we can enter into where it starts shifting things. We come into order with God and what his word says, and then what happens is we have the authority to shift things in the natural. So we're talking kingdom now. We're talking something not just our everyday thinking. We're talking kingdom. We talked about it. We talked about the ecclesia of God coming into the ecclesia of God is that wherever two or three come together and agree. The Bible says touching anything, it is done in heaven. So that doesn't, I mean, we have a lot more than two or three here today. So if we have a kingdom mindset and we come in with a purpose and we get into that realm in the spirit with God, we can shift things in the natural. That's powerful. That's why it's powerful as husbands and wives, our home. Why does the enemy fight against our homes? Where two come together. Husband and wives, power of agreement. You come together in agreement. What the enemy is always trying to do is to get you out of agreement. And I could tell you some stories about Jim and I. When we've been in agreement, things happen. When we've been out of agreement and out of order, we've had some chaos go on. And I mean, I could tell you some stories. I'm not going to, but I could tell you some good ones. Because there's power. It's spiritual. It's a realm. And we don't understand it as husbands and wives. We don't understand it when we gather our family together and we pray. If there's two or three, we can shift things in the natural for us. It's powerful. But so many times we go to God in prayer, we go to God with our lists, and we go with our needs and stuff, but we don't realize that there's realms that God wants us to enter. And in those realms, he gives us the authority to take control of these areas. And so I just want to go to Luke. Let's go to Luke 11. We'll start there. I'm going to just touch on three realms. I mean, Jesus taught them in the gospel. Luke 11, I mean, we kind of covered Luke 11 a lot over the last supernatural school. But it says here, Luke 11, 1, it says, "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples.' And he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves, as we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.'" So Jesus' first example of prayer, excuse me, was to address God as Father. So he said, and we spoke it this morning, the powerful name of Jesus. When we were born again, we were born into a new family. You know, I was born into the Larson family. I carried my father's name. But when I was born again, I carry the name of Jesus. We carry that name that's been given to us by our Father. It's our Father. And I just want to say, let's go to Matthew 6:6. I should have marked them with stickies. Jesus talks about prayer here in Matthew 6:6, and it says, "But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. For your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Now we've used that as a private little room or a secret place, but it's a realm. We go into a realm with our Father, and that realm is the throne of grace. If we go into Hebrews 6:4, let's go to Hebrews 6:4 real fast. Should have marked them, I'm sorry. Hebrews 6:4 says, do I have it right? Oh no, 16, I'm sorry. 16, 4:16. Hebrews 4:16, it says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Okay, so when we enter that realm with the Father, we enter into the throne of grace. Our Father is the one that says in Luke 11, he says, "Give us our daily bread." Our Father is the one that provides for us. He provides for our needs. What we've just read, the Father provides for his family. He provides the needs. It says in Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That's the Father. If we understand the goodness of God and how much he loves us and what price he paid as a Father to take an orphaned people. We were orphaned, and God brought us into the family. We are no longer orphans. He provides for our needs. He, whatever your needs are, I mean, we have lots of needs in the natural. We have needs, it says daily bread, and it says, you know, our home, and he provides for this. What does a good father provide for his kids? Some of us have a warped idea of what a father is because of the natural realm. But we need to get an idea and a thought of how good our Father is in heaven. And he provides. So in this dimension of prayer, when we go to our Father, we're going to the throne of grace where we find help in the time of need. And he supplies all our needs. There's no lack in his kingdom. I've told Sandy so many times, it's not a money issue. There's no lack in the kingdom. There's not a money issue in the kingdom. There's no lack in heaven. Now, sometimes we just get stuck thinking in the natural. But if we're kingdom mindset, there's no lack in heaven. Our Heavenly Father has all that we need. I believe that God has supplied everything that we need to fulfill the call and destiny on our life. Now, we don't always think that way. The Lord really convicted me just a few months ago. You know, Jim and I are talking about retiring so we can get back into ministry full time. And in my mind, I'm just like thinking, oh God, we have to have this much in the bank. And I just heard recently where they said most people that want to retire think they have to have $1 million in the bank, which I think would be great to have. And you know, maybe that's not too much to ask for. I mean, we have a Father that's limitless, you know? But I was like struggling, okay, God, if we could just get this much saved and we got all our debts paid and then I can retire, you know? And God just rebuked me. He said, Mary, you have an orphan spirit. That is an orphan spirit. How does an orphan spirit act? When, I think it was Bill Johnson talked about, they took in some foster kids, and these children just couldn't get enough to eat. Every meal, they just ate and ate and ate, ate and ate. And Bill said to his wife, Manny, we have to teach them that there's going to be another meal. There's going to be another meal. You don't have to stuff yourself at this meal. There's going to be another meal, and there'll be another meal tomorrow. But an orphan spirit says we have to store up, and everything has to be perfect and in place. But it says here in Luke, it says, our Father, give us our daily bread. God isn't out in the future. He's providing for us today. You know, and so when we go to the Father, we go to that dimension of saying, Father, I have these needs. Father, I need this. That's the dimension we go into. And if we have that warped thought of God, then we need to pray that we get a revelation of the goodness of God. He's a good, good God. He's a good Father. I mean, we sing that song. He's a good, good daddy. He provides for his people. He provides for us. So when we enter into that realm, we know that we have what we ask. We go into a realm. It says in Luke, it says, if even in the natural, if you know what to do for your children, you do good things in the natural as natural fathers, how much more? It says if he asks, you know, in the word it says if you ask for bread or if you ask for a fish or you ask for something, how much more, the Bible says, does your Heavenly Father give to you? How much more? And we need that concept. We need that kingdom concept because it's so easy to get stuck in just what we see. But we got to stop seeing things by the natural eye and start seeing things in the spiritual eye. I believe in this new time that God is bringing us to, we can't be looking in the natural. And I'm speaking to myself. I mean, I'm like preaching to myself right now because there's areas of weakness in our lives. We all have different areas of weakness. And sometimes in those areas, we're weak in it. But when we go into that dimension, when we go to our Father, that is a dimension of prayer that God wants us to access. And it's not just a, you know, I have this, this, this. I think in this dimension, we ask too little. It's just why I said, $1 million in the bank? I would be like, there's no way, you know? But are we asking too little? Maybe we are. There's a story in the Old Testament about Caleb. And when Caleb went into the promised land, he said, I want this mountain. And then he said in Numbers, he said, whoever takes this mountain, I'll give you my daughter. Andy? That's what Caleb said. Whoever takes this mountain, I'll give you my daughter. I mean, that's pretty bold. And then, I don't know the names offhand, but he took the mountain. It was some relative of Caleb. He took the mountain, and Caleb gave him his daughter. And then the daughter says, but now ask for the higher and the lower springs. And this young man said, he just gave me you. You want me to ask Caleb for the upper and the lower springs too? And she said, yeah, you just don't. She knew her daddy's heart. And he asked for the upper and the lower, and he got it. But see, we don't understand our daddy's heart. So sometimes we ask too little. I mean, Jim and I, when we were trying to get out of debt, I mean, man, we were being stretched. But God, you know what? God did it. He just did it. I mean, I don't know how he did it, but he did it. You know, so I think God wants us to expand our faith in those realms of what a good daddy he is. Okay, now I want to go back to Luke. I want to talk about another realm that he taught on. I want to go to Luke 11 again. I know this might get a little long, guys. I'm sorry. Okay. Then Luke 11:5, he said, and he said unto them, which of you who has a friend will go to him in the middle of the night and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will send, and he will answer from within and say, do not bother me. Do not bother me. The door is now shut. My children are in bed with me. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he will not get up because he is his friend, yet because of his prudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened to you. To everyone who asks, receives, and to the one who seeks, finds, and to him that knocketh will be opened. So now Jesus is teaching in Luke 11 about Jesus he's talking about going to prayer for a friend. He said, a friend comes and says, I need this. I'm in lack, and this friend gets up and goes to another friend, and he asks, he's actually asking for his friend that he needs something. So Jesus is teaching on the realms of friend of actually it's a realm of intercession. Intercession is pleading on someone else's behalf. So God is teaching on there's a realm that we can go into in intercession for others. I understand that realm. I prayed for Jim. I prayed for Jake. I have had the spirit of intercession come on me over other people. This week I've been woken twice in the night to pray for different people. I understand the realm of intercession. Most mamas, if you're a mama, you understand intercession. We go on behalf of somebody else. We go to that place. And actually, if we go to Jeremiah 23:11, it talks about when we go into that, when we go into intercession, we go into the counsel of God. I won't read it just for a lack of time, but it's Jeremiah 23:11. We are called friends of God. God has called us our friend. We go into, I think it's John 15, where he says, I call you my friend. God is our friend. Jesus is our friend. So when we go into intercession, we go into, it's the counsel of God. We go into that dimension where there's no enemy there in that. We just go and we start pleading for people. And we start pleading our case for people. People that, when I prayed for Jim, he was caught in drugs and alcohol. He didn't understand kingdom. He didn't understand born again. He didn't understand any of that. His eyes were blinded to that. But when we pray, we can pray that the Holy Spirit will open their eyes, that revelation will come into their heart, that we can loose the Holy Spirit to go into that situation. That's why we can intercede for another nation. As we stand here, we're in a different realm. We're in the counsel of God. We go to God as a friend and we say, God, this son of mine needs deliverance. He needs help. He needs a breakthrough. And he doesn't have it in him to bring it forth. But I am pleading with you as a friend, as an intercessor. God, we need breakthrough in this area for this person. And we can do it not only for people and family and loved ones, but we can do it for our city. We can do it for our state. We can do it for our nation. We've seen it with our government. If it wouldn't have been for the church praying, Donald Trump wouldn't be in office as much as whoever, what we think. It was God. And I remember the night of the election sitting there going, I can't believe this is happening. And yet I'd heard every prophetic word that had been out there for the whole election that said he was going to get it. I still stood there in front of the TV with my mouth hanging down. Me, a little faith. I mean, come on, these are realms of faith. This is realms of faith that we're entering into. Can we shift an election? Did the church expose Hillary? Come on, the church did. It was through intercession. We can change things. And that's what we're talking about, the ecclesia. That's the government of God. We go in as a friend of God and we say, God, what's happening here? Give us insight. God says he speaks to his friend in secret. He tells us things. And actually, we can go to Genesis. He said Abraham was a friend of God. God went to Abraham as a friend of God, and he said, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He told Abraham what he was going to do. Can God tell us what's going on? Yes, he can, if we're in that realm with him. And what did Abraham do? He pleaded with God. Spare Sodom and Gomorrah. If you can find 50 people, spare them. That's pretty bold of Abraham, but he was his friend. He knew his friend's heart. And God said, okay, I will spare it for 50. And we know the story. Abraham goes down and down. I think he goes all the way down to 10. Abraham was interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah. He knew his nephew Lot was in that city. We can do the same thing. In the counsel of God, we go to the counsel of God. It's a realm. I have literally gone into intercession and seen God bring a young man walking through this door that never walked in this door before. And it was my prayers that brought him walking in. He didn't even know why he walked in. Got saved. It can happen. When I prayed for Jim, I didn't lead him to the Lord. Shoot, wanted to. I tried really hard, but I didn't. Brian Rudd did. A prophetic man of God that was sharper than, he was a two-edged sword. I tell you, if you had any sin in your life, I tell you, you were either shaking in your boots, or you were running out the back door, or you were getting delivered. I've never seen anybody like Brian Rudd ever since, except maybe Kevin Leo. Kevin Leo's kind of up there. anyway. But God led him to a meeting, God, and he saved him and delivered him. I wasn't even there. I was working. I was at the hospital working nights. I was like, shoot, I didn't even get... But I know my prayers brought it forth. I know it. For a fact. Do you have anybody in your life that needs a breakthrough? That is sitting and not seeing and understanding? Ephesians says, open the eyes of our understanding, our eyes of our understanding that we might see. We can pray that over people. We can pray. I mean, you know, God is not limited. The Holy Spirit hovers and hovers, and we can send angels on assignment, and there's all sorts of things we can do. It's powerful when we understand kingdom and the power that we have in kingdom. I believe we can also hear from God and we can decree, and that's where we get prophetic, and we hear from God and we can decree a thing. That's where the authority comes in that realm when we spend time in prayer. Prayer is powerful. God speaks to us. He gives us a word. We can decree and declare it over their lives. That's why we talk so strongly in this church about prophetic anointings and people coming in and speaking into the lives of our children, speaking into our lives, and we can decree those. This is like authority realms that we move in when we intercede and we pray. You know, I remember prophetic words over my kids. Write them down. Speak them over them. I just got one over Marky. You know, when Dave was here, we pray over those. We decree that thing for it to happen. You know, as warriors in the realm of the Spirit, we connect with God as a friend, and He gives us secrets and insights and gives us prophetic words, and we even get a glimpse of what is in their book and their destiny, their purpose. And then we decree and declare it in prayer. We speak it in the atmosphere. And things shift. Things come into order. I loved what they talked about order. The whole time they were talking about order, I was thinking about these pillars. You know, I could have a call of God on my life, but if I'm over here and I have an anointing of God on my life as a teacher or as a prophetic intercessor, and I'm here and I'm supposed to be under the light of God, under that order of God where He's shining upon me, if I'm out of order, guess what? I'm going to miss it. I don't want to miss the call of God in my life. I want to get in order. I want to be under that light. I want to hear His voice. I want to be a friend to Him where He can tell me secrets. And I can decree and declare them into the atmosphere. And things will change in my life and in the communities around us, and things can happen. And that's what God's bringing us into, a whole new realm of thinking, of prayer and dimensions. And it's powerful. God has given us this authority. This last weekend, He talked about God. He doesn't only give us the sword of the Spirit where we can use the word of God and it's two-edged and it cuts and divides, but He's given us a scepter. We're in a new realm. He's giving us authority of a scepter, and the scepter holds out his scepter. The king holds out his scepter, and if we touch that scepter, we have permission. We have permission. I don't know about you, but that's like powerful. Permission to what? Pray for our loved ones, to see God touch their lives, to bring them into the kingdom, for them to find their purpose and to walk out their destiny, for them to know their destiny. It's powerful. We can decree it. We can it comes into authority. There's a realm of authority. We need to take our place in the counsel of the Lord as a friend. John 15 says God calls us as friends. Okay, now I want to add to this test. Maybe not. Luke 11, I'm talking about three dimensions. Luke 11, 18. No, Luke 18, sorry. Luke 18. I probably won't even read it because you all know the parable. The parable is where a woman goes to the judge. She goes to the judge. I might read it. And he told a parable. This is Jesus' teaching. He told a parable to be effective to those ought to always pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. There was a widow in that city who kept coming to him saying, give me justice against my adversary. And for a while he refused, but after he said to himself, though I neither fear God or respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down with her continuous coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will not God? So the story is about going to God as a judge. What? Now God's our judge. He talked about us going to the Father, to the throne of grace. He talked about God as a friend, going to him, the counsel of God as a friend. And now he's talking about God as a judge. And he said, will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him daily, night and day? Will not God? We go, okay, this woman was fighting an adversary. How many of you know we have an adversary? The adversary is the devil. The enemy can bring cases against us. We're thinking courtroom now. We're thinking courtroom. We're talking about a judge. We're shifting this is another realm in heaven. We talked about in Daniel 7. I talked about when I talked about the books were open. It said, and they sat down in the courtroom of heaven and they opened the books. We're talking about God as our judge now. And he said, will not God avenge us or you against your adversary? How many have ever had the devil fight you? He fights dirty. But the enemy can either fight legally against us or he can fight illegally against us. The word says he's a thief and a robber. He can come and he illegally fights against us. And we have the authority by the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, to fight the devil and say, hands off. If he's coming to kill, steal, or destroy, we have the authority through the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the word of God. We have authority to fight the enemy. But what happens if the enemy comes to us? It says in Revelations that he comes as an accuser of the brethren. And in Revelations, let me find it. I think it's 10 or something. Is it 12? Revelations 12:10 comes as an accuser of the brethren. But can he build a case against us? It says that the enemy in the Greek means antidosis, which means enemy, opponent in a battle, or in court. So, okay, we're talking courtroom now. Okay, the whole thought of courtroom is different. Has anybody ever been taken to court? Okay. The protocol of court is totally different, right, Jeff? Okay, if anybody has ever watched Judge Judy? Come on. Jim and I, like, shake our heads and say, why would anybody go on that show? Why would they put themselves through Judge Judy? Anyway, the protocol. When I was in eighth grade, there was a lawsuit against the principal of our elementary school. Two boys had gotten into a fight, and the principal went out to break up the fight, and as he broke up the fight, one of the boys fell and busted his leg. And all of us kids, I was in eighth grade, seventh and eighth grade, we were together. We were in a small school in Bijou. And so we all seen this. Well, because the young man broke his leg, the family decided to sue the school and the principal. So when I was in eighth grade, all of a sudden we had lawyers. My dad was on the school board. My dad was involved in a lot of the stuff in our community, and my dad was on the school board. And so I was called to testify for the principal of what I saw. And I had to go to court. Now, as a little eighth grader, I mean, that's kind of a scary thing for you. And actually, at one point, the people that were bringing the lawsuit came to the farm to talk to me, which that lawyer had no right to come and talk to me. And my dad got in his face and chased him off the farm. I mean, my dad's like, uh-uh, you get out of here. I mean, it was quite a deal. But when we got into court, and there was, I can't remember how many of us had to testify, but I mean, it's pretty intimidating when you're young. And I remember this friend of mine, Lonnie, she was in seventh grade, and she got up there, and the lawyers, you know, they question you, and you know how it works. We've watched enough Law and Order, and I mean, I like that kind of stuff. I like court cases. We like Perry Mason back in the day and those types of things. So we understand courtroom, right? We understand it. I remember the judge saying to Lonnie, spit that gum out of your mouth. I mean, she was just a little seventh grader. I mean, that judge wasn't even going to allow gum in his courtroom. I was just like, ooh. You know, it's intimidating, it's scary. But here Jesus is talking that God is our judge. God is a judge. And we go. If we're going to Daniel 7, it talks about the courtroom of God. And that's where in Revelations it talks about the accuser of the brother. He's accusing us. If he has legal, okay, we know that there can be sin, transgressions, and iniquity that happens, right? There's those three things. If we fall into one of these, Satan can have a legal right to bring a case against us. If I went out and sinned and I didn't repent, Satan has a legal right to bring me before God in the courtroom of heaven and say, she's messed up, and I have a case against her. He has that right, and he does it. But we also can go into that courtroom, and we have Jesus. Jesus is our lawyer. He's the one that's protecting us. He steps in as our lawyer and says, yes, she's messed up, but if I come in with a repentant heart, if I humble myself, if I've messed up, we all mess up. We're human. We all mess up. But what we do is if we humble ourselves and we pray and ask for forgiveness, the Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins because of the blood of Jesus. So when the enemy is bringing a case against us, we go into the courts of heaven and we say, God, the enemy is tormenting me here, but I have repented. I have pleaded the blood over this thing. And Jesus, as our intercessor and advocator or mediator, steps in and he says, I've taken their place. Jesus takes our place. He took our place on the cross of Calvary. So when we go into that realm of the courtroom of heaven, Satan has no authority when he sees the blood. It's over. It's a done deal. The verdict is not guilty. The judge is not guilty. Now, when even in the natural, when a judge gives a sentence, it's pretty set. Of course, you know, nowadays we have lawyers that can try to wiggle and get in and appeal and do all sorts of things. But in the kingdom of God, the blood of Jesus, it covers. It says it covers a multitude of sin. So if you're struggling, if you feel like Satan has a case against you, you need to understand the power in the blood of Jesus. And you go to the courts of heaven and you say, God, I'm covered under the blood. I've messed up here, but I am covered. And God forgives us. And that the accuser of the brethren, it's a realm, you guys. And we can talk about it, and I know it's getting late, but we can talk about it in sin, but we can also talk in transgressions and iniquity. Iniquities is God said in the Old Testament, I will visit the sins from generation to generation. We talk about generation curses. But we can also go into the court of heaven and break off those generational curses off our lives by the blood of Jesus. I don't have to. It's crazy. In the natural, you go to the doctor. The last time I had a physical, we talked more about my dad and my mom than about me. They want to know your history. What's in your bloodline? Is that not right? When I lived in Southern Texas, oh my God, all my friends, they embraced illnesses from their bloodline. Oh, my mom had this, so I have it. Or, you know, my grandma had diabetes, my dad had diabetes, and now we all have diabetes. I used to, it just drive me crazy. It's like, wait a minute. Those are iniquities. That's iniquity. That's generational stuff that we can break off. But if we don't know it, and we don't go into the courts of heaven and say, God, this is in my bloodline, and we're going to stop it now in Jesus' name. By the blood of Jesus, we can break off generational curses off our life. That it doesn't have to be in our next generation. I think of Jim. Jim was an alcoholic. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. No, sorry. I had an argument with a man about that from AA. I said, he's delivered. He's not an alcoholic. Sorry, it's gone. And my boys aren't going to be alcoholics because it was broke off. Maybe in his lineage before that, but not now. It's been broken by the blood of Jesus. And we can do that. Jeff, you broke it off as a father. Your father was abusive. We can break it off. I don't have to abuse my kids. We break those generational things off. And that's what we do. We go into the courts of heaven. And we plead our case. And we break things off. We break sin off and we break iniquity off. We break the spirit of transgressions off. And we can do it for our lives and we can do it for regions. We can do it for states. I was in a meeting in Nicaragua where there was a contract made between Nicaragua and another Costa Rica. And Cindy Jacobs stood up with a gal from Costa Rica, and they broke the curse of that disagreement off those two nations. They went to the court of heaven, and through the blood of Jesus, they broke it off nations. We can do it in counties. We can do it in regions. We can do it in our state. We can do it in our nation. This stuff is powerful, but this is kingdom stuff. And it's not just personal for us. This is prayer. This is intercession. This is making a difference in our lives and the lives of our loved ones. The lives of people all around us, our communities. I think it was Remy or Femi that said, you know, why are you allowing the spirit of suicide in this community? As the ecclesia of God, we can break that off our community. I have to break it off my bloodline. I have it in my bloodline. This is powerful, guys. I know it's getting late, but today I just want to challenge you. I don't know where you're at or what's going on in your life. I know what God's doing in the life of this church. I don't know where you're at in your personal life. You know, do you need to come to God today as a father? Do you need to come to Him as a friend? Do you need to break off some things off of our lives? It's all available to us. In the realms of the Spirit, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We need to be seated to where we're looking down. We're not looking up, we're looking down. And God has given us the power and authority. He's given us everything that we need for life and godliness. And I just challenge you today to just get a new perspective or a new thought about what you're doing in prayer. This is what Jesus taught us. Some of you might need some things broken off your bloodline. I believe if we are not getting a breakthrough, if there's areas in our lives or in the lives of other people where we're not getting a breakthrough, then we need to go into the courts of heaven and we need to break something off. Because Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. He paid for us for every sickness. There was not one sickness that He didn't pay for. There's not one sin that is not covered by the blood of Jesus. If you're living in guilt and shame or condemnation, you need to find out. You need a revelation. You need to go to Hebrews and read about the blood. The blood says, it says in Hebrews 3 that the blood even takes the consciousness of sin away. That's the shame and the guilt. It washes even that away. To me, that's powerful. So I just want to pray. Father, we just thank you that you are moving us into new realms of authority, into the realms of prayer for loved ones and for ourselves and our needs. Father, you are teaching us how to go into the courts of heaven and fight the enemy. Father, I thank you that you are bringing us into new and higher and greater levels than we've ever been before. Father, I pray that the eyes of our understanding would be open to understand your kingdom like never before, Father. I pray that you would shift our mindsets into how we think of church and how we think of prayer. And Father, I thank you that you have called us and anointed us for such a time as this. Father, that you have given the church and you are taking us out of just church mentality into ecclesia mentality where we are ruling and reigning with Christ. And Father, I just ask right now that everyone that heard my voice today would have a divine revelation of you as our Father, you as our friend, and you as our judge. Father, I thank you that the righteousness of God brings judgment, brings the proper judgment into the earth. And we're not living under the law anymore, we're living under the righteousness of God. Because the judgment of God has been taken care of. The wrath of God has been taken care of through the blood of Jesus. Father, as you pierce the side, as Jesus was pierced the side, his side was pierced on the cross, and that blood and water flowed on the ground. God, you healed our land. That blood and water heals our land. I thank you, Father, for what you've done. And Lord, today, I just lift everyone up in this place that needs a divine revelation of the power of the blood, the power of the name, the word of their testimony. Father, I just thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Well, Father, friend, and judge. Now, when you leave here, that's going to come to you again. Father, friend, and judge. And it's surprising when Mary taught probably 3-4 weeks ago how it literally just was just ringing in my ears. And then it starts developing into governmental things where you can do the things that she was talking about with a father, friend, and judge. Amen. You know, the words that we speak are very, very important. And so we just have to find out what words we should speak, and they're usually good biblical words, and it changes our lives. So, all right, well, let's stand, and let's just give the Lord acknowledgement right now. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word today. I know that Mary's already prayed, but God, that we receive the word, and it falls on good ground in our hearts, in our lives, every aspect, and Lord, that this deal on, you know, God the Father and what he thinks about and how he loves us, and he'd do anything to do the deal. And a friend, you know, I mean, wow, God, Creator God, is my friend. And the finished work that was done in that, Father, I just believe, Lord, that you got great, great things, you know. And as a judge, we're not being judged. We're being brought before and using the blood and the finished work of the cross to dismiss the judgment off of our lives that we can walk free. And we have power in that, power. So, Father, we thank you for that. And we speak it upon our lives now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. God bless you today. All right. Have a great week in Jesus. Hallelujah.